Let's pray. Father, thanks for this time, for this community, for this opportunity to just spend some time looking at what you have to say to us. Father, I pray that your voice would be heard among us and that only your voice would penetrate us and only your voice would be the voice that we would listen to. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love expressed in the person of Jesus. Father, as we look at what he said and how he lived and what he did, help us to just simply trust that. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who are visiting, and there looks like there are a lot of you, we've been working through the book of Matthew, and it's the first gospel, and it has a gospel means good news, and it has a lot of good news in it. Tonight we're looking at the 15th chapter, and it's going to sound like it's not necessarily good news, but I want to read it, and then we're going to talk at least the first few verses of it, and then we're going to kind of talk about those. I know that often in church you're supposed to be very silent and quiet and, you know, get disturbed if people make noise. That's not the Village. So if you're at the Village, you're supposed to talk and you're supposed to be disruptive and keep your cell phones on and all that kind of stuff. So don't worry about it. But also, if you have questions, if you have thoughts, ideas, it's okay to raise your hand or just blurt them out and, you know, we'll stop and talk about that. So don't be afraid to do that. It says in Matthew 15, "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.' Jesus replied, 'And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, "Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, "Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God," he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." This last couple days, Kathy's folks live in Phoenix. My wife's folks live in Phoenix, and they decided to come down to visit. And my older son also came from Phoenix to visit. And so we've been kind of talking and reminiscing and remembering the good old days like you do whenever you get together. And one of the things that we were remembering were that there were house rules. when my kids were little, we had rules in our house. Certain rules that they were just rules. That's how our house worked. And if you went to Grandma Bernice, well, she had rules of how, you know, you couldn't lean on back on the chairs at Grandma Bernice's house. You know, like if you leaned up a chair up against the wall, Grandma Bernice, she was just deaf on that. That was just, you cannot do that. And Grandma Nita's house, well, you could get away with that, but there were there were just things you could do at one grandma's house that you couldn't do at the other grandma's house and vice versa. And there were things you could do at home that you couldn't do at grandma's house, and there were certainly things you could get away with at grandma's house that you would never get away with at home. And so, you know, there was just all these rules. And one grandpa liked this, life this way, and the other grandpa liked life this way. And so for a kid, it was confusing. And they weren't ever sure, you know, like, okay, which grandma am I going to? So what are the rules? And what's the rules at this grandma's house? And, oh, yeah, okay, I got to remember. And so we kind of got that all figured out, and that became part of how, you know, I mean, that's just their house rules. Now, in our house, we had rules. One of the rules that I came up with, which I thought was brilliant, because I came up with it, was that the kids were not allowed to eat until the animals had been fed. Okay? Because they wanted the animals so bad, and they just wanted pets. They love pets, and so they wanted their pets. And so I said, that's fine, you can have pets, but you have to feed the animals, otherwise you can't eat. And I thought that was a great rule. And so then they would say, Justin would say, well, it's Derek's turn. And then Derek would say, no, I did it yesterday. No, you didn't, because you owed me that from this other thing. And, you know, and they make all these deals, and I said, I don't care whose turn it is. It doesn't matter. None of you kids are eating until the dog gets fed. When the dog gets fed, then you can eat. Brilliant rule. Except, A, I didn't enforce it very well. And B, I would forget about the rule. And most of the time, Kathy just fed him anyway, because that's just what she does, because she actually always ends up taking care of the pets that the boys got. And so that was just how it all worked. But it was a rule, and it was a standing rule, and we were pretty, you know, every once in a while we would remember the rule just in time to make sure that, you know, one kid or another got in trouble, basically. And so we learned that, right? We all learned about house rules. We had certain house rules, and what's grown up around God's Ten Commandments and God's laws and God's rules are house rules. They're kind of how this particular group of Jews decided that the rules had to be enforced. They were called Pharisees. Pharisees always get a bad rap. But as I've mentioned before, you want to live in a neighborhood full of Pharisees. Because you know what? Their houses are going to be immaculate. They're going to be clean and neat and pleasant and nice, and they're just good people. And so, you know, we like Pharisees. We like those really nice, religious, spiritual people. Well, when they're kind, you know. If we like those kind of people. We like to live next door to them. But what happened was they have devised a whole bunch of rules, and they've made those rules so that they look good and that they're honored and that they're respected and that they're appreciated and looked up to, because the purpose of rules eventually, right, the reason we have rules is because we want everyone else to follow our rules. So here's my question tonight. What rules do you have that you want everybody else to follow? Right? What rules do you have that you want everybody else to follow?
If you're shopping and you have a shopping cart, stay with your shopping cart on one side or the other. Don't block the whole aisle.
There you go. Now see, there's a house rule. That's a great house rule. Right? Good rule. Any other? Go fast in the fast lane, right? Right. Now, there's no law that says you have to go fast in the fast lane. It says you need slower traffic should keep right, But yeah, don't you just, that's a great rule. Any other great rules that we have for other people? Just that we would really like other people to keep? No? Great rules. Fantastic rules, right? We always have these rules that we want everybody else to keep. Because it makes, what, my life easier. You keep my rules, and my life gets a whole lot easier. But, see, I want slack on keeping the rules. And I want the rule to work for me. So what happens is if a rule gets uncomfortable for me, then I make some adjustments to the rule so that I don't have to keep the rule. In other words, the rule was the boys had to feed the animals. Now, if the boys didn't feed the animals, they didn't get to eat. But Kathy, who's sympathetic and kind, and she would feed the animals. Well, you know what? I can modify my rule as long as it's Kathy that's going to feed the animals and not me, right? Because then it's Kathy feeding the animals. And that's good. I like when Kathy feeds the animals. That's okay. So I can modify my house rule about thou shalt feed the animals, right, which is the animal rule. I can modify it to adjust, well, Kathy can feed them. That's okay if she feeds the animals. That's a good law. That's a good rule. I can live with that response to the rule. That's okay, right? So we modify. House rules are always subject to modification that, what, benefit us. And that's kind of what the Pharisees have done. They've taken the law of God, the very simple, straightforward law, the laws that says that things have to be a certain way, and they modify them in such a way that they get to look good and be good and be considered good. And so, so one of the important rules for them was cleanliness, right? Now, I know when we heard that sentence, that the Pharisees had said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. You know, like, that's like a good rule. You know, that's a good house rule. Matter of fact, that's a rule in my house. Our kids had to wash their hands before they ate. You know, that was feed the dog and then wash your hands and then you get to eat, right? Because sometimes they'd wash their hands, feed the dog, and that was a mess. But you want, like, we had the house rule. Washing hands is good. And so that sounds like a reasonable rule. I don't think anybody in the room here went, I mean, we were all a little confused, like, okay, yeah, disciples, that's a good idea. You really need to wash your hands before you eat. And wash your hands after you use the bathroom. They have sinks in bathrooms, guys. And the purpose of those sinks is to put your hands under the water and with soap and then dry them on those paper towel things, or those little blow things that, you know. There's a purpose for that. It's so that you don't spread disease, okay? And we like that rule. We like the washing hand rule. I get a little nervous shaking some of your hands, you know, because I'm not sure, like, where they've been and whether they've been washed, you know? So washing hands is a good deal, right? I like washing hands. I think everybody should wash hands. Matter of fact, let's make that a village house rule, okay? I want that to be a rule. When you use the bathroom, wash your hands, okay? When you're going to cook and make the chicken for the salad or whatever every week, well, wash your hands before you do that, you know, and after, because that's a good rule. I like that rule. But Jesus isn't, the Pharisees really aren't talking about that kind of hand washing. I mean, everybody knew that that was okay. They were talking about a ceremonial washing, okay? And that kind of went back to when God first gave the law. He told Aaron, the priest, the high priest, that when he went into the temple, or the tabernacle, when he went into the tabernacle to serve God, to be in the presence of God, that he had to be ceremonially clean before he was allowed to come in. So they had this special bronze basin that was made, and it was filled with water that had been blessed, and then they had to wash their hands, and there was a ceremony that went with that, and before they could even walk up there, they had to have their feet washed, and there was a ceremony about that, and they had to be clean, and they had to wear a special robe, and you know, there was a lot of stuff that they had to do, that a priest had to do before he could go into the tabernacle. And now, years later, the Pharisees have taken that concept, that really great concept, and of ceremonial cleanliness, and they've applied it to food, right? So they would go through this immaculate, amazing, incredible ceremony, much like a wedding ceremony. They would go through this whole thing, washing their hands in the prescribed way, and making sure that they had touched nothing that was defiled. Okay? Now, defiled meant anybody who was a leper. If you had touched a leper, you were defiled. And so you had to be ceremonially clean. And there were all these other rules about being ceremonially clean before you, and now they say, before you eat, you have to do all this. So that's really what they're criticizing the disciples over. That's why they're annoyed with the disciples about. They're not annoyed because they're not washing their hands before they eat. They're annoyed with them because they're not ceremonially clean. They're not pure, right? Because our rules make us look good, right? And their rules made them look good. And trust me, people who have a whole lot of rules that they want you to live by and that they live by look good to us, and we what? Get pretty fearful of them. We get pretty afraid of them. Because what? Rules are often used to hammer us. Rules are often used to control us. Rules are used with power in mind. And that's what the Pharisees wanted. They wanted to have power and position and status in the community, and so they used the rules to make sure they got that. So everybody would see a Pharisee and go, wow, look at that dude. That is one holy guy. That is one really cool holy guy. That is a special dude. Wow. And we'd all sort of bow and ape. And, you know, we're all kind of like, wow, I wish I could be like them. I wish I was that holy. But most of us are kind of back row people or kind of, you know, sliding in on the left. You know, we're pretty sure that we could never be like that. But we admire that. And so people that have those rules and have those requirements and have those expectations gain power. And so the reason for the purity of the Pharisees was so that they could look good, be powerful. Jesus just nails them. And he nails them with one of their other rules. Well, God's law says that you're to honor your father and mother. And by the way, that just doesn't go away with because you want it to go away. One of God's laws, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt honor your father and mother. You shall do that. You just have to. You're required to. And so we can debate till the cows come home what honoring looks like. And there's a lot of ways in which we honor people. But honoring is something that we're called to do. And so the Pharisees, knowing that, were supposed to provide for, take care of their parents in their old age. One of the hard parts about turning 54 was that this week was that I realized that I am old, and also that my parents are even older. And when Kathy's folks came down, you know, those people are getting old, and they're not quite able to care for themselves in the way that they used to care for themselves. And so it's falling on us as their children to begin to provide for them and to take care of them and to see what life's going to look like for them shortly as they lose the ability to just live on their own. And so we've been talking about that and what that looks like, and you know, we find a place for them to live? Do we take them into our home? Well, all those things, all the options cost money. And the way the Pharisees would get around this deal is there's a law that God had said, which was that if you dedicate something to God, if you give it to God, it's his and you can't give it to anyone else. So what would happen was the Pharisees would say, you know, like, here I have a whole bunch of money that I really should dedicate towards taking care of my parents, but you know what? I'm such a spiritual guy, I'm going to give it to God. and they would go give it to the priest. And of course the priest would give some of it back to them under the table, or give them special privileges, or honor them, or respect them. And Jesus is basically saying, you give that to God as a way to avoid the law of God, which is to take care of and provide for your parents in their old age. That's what you were supposed to do. That's what you're called to do. That's what honoring looks like. And instead, you are dedicating it to God. No, you're not. He's saying, you are messed up. You're avoiding the law of God by your own little traditions, your own little rules. So I want you to think tonight about the rules that you have in your house, the rules that you have that you live by, the rules that the expectations that you have of everyone around you. Okay? Not the expectations you have for yourself. The expectations that you have for your spouse, the expectations you have for your kids, the expectations you have for your parents, the expectations you have for your family, the expectations that you have for your neighbors, your friends. I want you to think about all those expectations, those requirements, those rules that you have for them, and then I want you to think about the law of God, the rules of God. Okay? We have the Ten Commandments. Can we say them all? Anybody know them? What's the first commandment? Anybody know? Love God with all your heart. Second commandment is don't make any idols, right? Don't make any images, right? Third rule? Pardon me? Exodus chapter 20 is the easy place to find it. Oh, hey, the kids made it. Can we bring that up here? Just bring the thing. You don't have to bring the whole thing. There you go. Okay? We have don't serve other gods. We have make no idols to worship. Be serious when you say my name, for those of you who don't do that. Keep the Sabbath day holy, the special. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill. Don't break your marriage. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't even want what others have. Okay? Simple, straightforward rules. If everybody followed those rules, we'd live in a much better world. Okay? Jesus had come later and he said what? Overarching those rules are summed up in what? Two rules. What are those two rules? Love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the overarching command. So every rule that you have, every law that you have, ought to be a rule and a law that what? Loves. That shows love. That promotes love. That makes love. That love becomes the ultimate part of that. So that when I make a rule, it's because I love. When I made another rule for my children, it was, when they were small, was they were not allowed to run on blacktop. You can never run on blacktop. It's just against the rule. It's against Dad's rule, you may not run on blacktop. You may run on concrete, you may run on grass, you may not run on blacktop. Why did I make that rule? Because streets were made out of blacktop, and I don't want my kids running out in the street, right? So one day, I'm at the grocery store, and Derek says to Justin, because he's way ahead already, he says, I'll race you to the car, right? And they go, okay, and they take off, and I'm going, no! And I see this car, this lady's looking for a parking space, she's not looking where she's going, I see my children running full blast out the grocery store, across the concrete, to the blacktop, to the car, and I'm thinking, they forgot the rule, they're going to die. She's going to not see him. I'm screaming. It's too late. It's over. And they come racing up and they skid to a stop right at the edge of the blacktop. Because they knew the rule, right? You don't run on the blacktop. You're not allowed to. Dad said, nope, can't rule. That's just a rule in our house. Now, that was a good rule. Why was that a good rule? Because it saved my kids' lives, right? It kept them out of the street. It kept them out from getting hurt, from getting run over by a car by some lady who was looking for a parking space. It was a great rule. It actually worked, right? I was more amazed than they were. But it was an amazing rule that actually worked. But what was the compelling reason for that rule? It's because I love my kids. I don't want to see them run down the street getting hurt. When the kid was racing his truck, the neighbor kid was racing his truck down our street, I went and pulled him out of the truck and threw him up and told him, you can race that truck anywhere you'd like in this world, but on this street you will drive 15 miles an hour, even though the speed limit says 25, because I have little kids out here, okay? I had rules, right, for the neighborhood. Why? Because I care about my kids. I don't want them to get run over. And that kid can race his truck on a racetrack where they belong, but he doesn't have to race on my street. And why? Because I care. I love my kids. I love my neighbor. I don't want that neighbor kid to have that on his conscience. And so what happens was Jesus understands that these Pharisees are not compelled by love. They don't have these rules because they love people. They have these rules because they want to look good and because they want power. And Jesus says that what goes into us, even if we eat with unclean hands, what goes into us does not defile us, but what comes out of our mouth defiles us. What we say comes out of our heart. Jesus is more interested in what comes out of your heart than what goes into your mouth. Because food goes in, and it does what food does. It's used, and part of it is, not used. And he kind of makes that clear here. And so that's what happens. It just kind of food goes through you. But what comes out of you, or what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your mouth shows your character, shows your nature, shows who you really are. And that's what Jesus sees and knows. People were in terror of the Pharisees. They were just in awe of them and afraid of them. You can see that. And the disciples, when they come, they go, Jesus, do you know that the Pharisees were offended? Do you get it? Jesus, you just stepped on their toes really hard, and they're not really good people to get, you don't want to step on their toes. They can get pretty nasty. They're really the holy people. They're the righteous people. They're the really good people. You don't want to step on their toes. Why would you irritate them? They're wealthy. They have stuff. They're really good people. Yeah, why do you want to do that? And do you know that you offended them? And Jesus says, yeah. Because Jesus knows that what comes out of our hearts is what matters. Jesus knows that. Not what goes into our mouths, what comes out of us. I don't know what your rules are. I don't know what rules you have for other people. There's nothing wrong with having rules for other people. As long as those rules are motivated by the overarching rule of love for God and love for your neighbor. Questions, comments, thoughts, ideas?
Right.
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 And then we have a whole new set of rules for teenagers that, you know. Any other comments? Thoughts? Ideas? The rule to not jump off the roof. Yes, we have. We should have made that rule. Yeah, there were rules that we had that we should have made, but in retrospect, it's too late. So. Other comments? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, you are amazing because you know us and you know our penchant for making rules for other people, and you know our desire to be seen as good, and you know our desire to be powerful, and you tell us, urge us, call us to be people who love. Father, help us to live by the rules that we create for ourselves to honor you by doing that. Help us to be generous to people who do not keep the rules that we would have them keep. Help us to be kind to them. Father, help us to watch what comes from our mouth, so that our words will build and lift up and protect and care for, that our words will be words that are generous and kind, soft. Father, help us to be gentle and loving and merciful. Help us to walk into our shame and our pain and our fear, where we so often make our rules, and simply trust you there. Father, I pray that each person in this room would come to know you fully and completely, and that in the process we would learn to love. Love you first and love each other as we love ourselves. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. For our response time this evening, we will pass some baskets if you're visiting. There is no expectation that you will have an offering to give. If you'd like to, you certainly may, but there's no expectation that you would or should, so don't feel obligated in any way. There's a chair back there called the Sinner's Chair. It's kind of a scary place, sounding place, but it's actually just a place where if you want to go sit and have someone come and pray for you, you can talk with them and someone will pray with you and over you. And also we have art, all art that you see, including this piece here, are done by people in our community. It has meaning to them and to us, and maybe to you. You can ask questions, you can ask who the artist is, and someone will point them to you, and you can talk about that. In the back on either side, we have bread and juice. If you know Jesus and you are a follower of Jesus, then please take a piece of that bread and dip it in the juice. And as you eat it, remember that his body was broken for you, that his blood was shed for you, and that he gave his life for you. And finally, we will have music, meditation. You can simply quietly reflect or walk around, and then we'll do a few more songs, and then after that we'll have a meal together. Let's worship.